From WNYC New York Public Radio, this is The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Brian Lehrer. This is just one segment of our show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open from American Express, presenting the interactive webcast event, Making a Name for Yourself. Kate and Andy Spade and Bobby Brown discuss their leap from business to brand, created by Open from American Express. Registration at openforumonline.com.
Reserve Grand Champ and last year's reigning champs under a different name, Hill Country Barbecue.
Barbecue fans, maybe you missed this weekend's Hudson Valley Rib Fest in New Paltz, New York, which is what we just heard a sample of. For the second year in a row, barbecue masters from all over the country took part in the competition. And as you can hear from that announcement, this is serious stuff. The contest has strict rules for judging the food by appearance, taste, and texture. And also smell, according to at least what I'm experiencing here in the studio. Joining me now to talk about the emerging popularity of barbecue for flavor and sport is pitmaster extraordinaire Robert Richter. I'm Beth Fertig, filling in for Brian Lehrer, and we're going to be discussing how Robert was last year's grand champion when he came in second this year for the New Paltz Rib Fest. Robert, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you, Beth.
I'd like to hear very much about what we're going to sample, but first I need to ask you, what was your award-winning entry last year?
Last year, I believe we took first, second, and third in all four categories. A first in brisket, a first in chicken, I think it was a second and third in pork. So when we left no doubt in the judges' minds that day that we had the best barbecue.
Wow, and that's what we're going to sample later. And it's the same food that came in second place this year?
This year, we basically how a contest works is there are four categories, and they add up the total points of the four categories, and whoever's got the largest number of points is the grand champion.
And who was the grand champion this year? I'm sorry to bring up a sore subject since you didn't win this year.
The grand champion was Adam Perry Lang from Daisy May, a very talented, highly trained chef.
Okay.
And we just missed grand champion by a half a point.
Ouch.
Out of a possible 800 points.
Wow, this is a serious competition.
Very serious.
And tell us a little bit about, this is the second year in a row that they've done this in New Paltz, but these competitions are done all over the place, right?
Sure. Up until 3 years ago, there were no New York barbecue championships. There were no contests. And our team got into competing about 5 years ago, and we used to travel down south. We traveled to New England, and from no contest 2 years ago, New York now has four championships.
And they're looking for what are the qualities of the food?
The qualities are taste, appearance, and tenderness. And each one of those is weighted a little differently. Taste being the most important, tenderness next, and appearance last. This is they do blind judging. They give you styrofoam containers, and there are six judges, and you submit your food. And they don't know. It's a double-blind judging system. So
and it's also based on, like, a Kansas City format, right? Like, there's a very strict competition format that they use in all of these, right?
Sure. The sanctioning body that runs the most contests across America is the Kansas City Barbecue Society. And every contest, in order to be sanctioned, they send two representatives that have been trained to make sure that the contest runs legitimately and all the rules are abided by. And there's no funny business.
And how did it start in Ulster County then? Whose idea was it to bring a similar competition up north? Because, you know, you don't really associate New York with barbecue.
Well, a guy who loves barbecue, Mike Fick, from that area, he put this together. And he worked very hard to make this a successful contest. Throughout the year, we cook about five contests. And he showed up to every one of them, encouraging teams to attend. He got great sponsorship. There's a music festival associated with it.
I saw on the web, it looked like it's part of a whole bigger county fair type of thing, right?
Exactly. It's held on the Ulster County Fairgrounds. There's music. They have vendors of not only barbecue, but all sorts of food. And part of the entertainment is actually the competition itself. Spectators get to walk around and see some of the top teams in the country preparing the best barbecue in the country.
All right. I can't wait to taste it since it smells so good in the studio. And I'm a little shy because I've never eaten before on the air. But tell us a little bit about yourself and what you've prepared, okay, and how you started cooking barbecue and where your food is served.
I started cooking barbecue in my backyard. Actually, I started as a griller. Everybody, some people, when they grill a hamburger, a hot dog, or a chicken, they say we're having a barbecue. It's not really barbecue. Barbecue is about cooking pieces of meat that are not so tender for a long period of time over a low temperature to tenderize them. I started as a griller, and then I read the manual to the Weber grill, the Weber kettle, and they talked about putting the charcoal on one side of the pit and putting your meat on the other, closing the cover, maintaining a nice low fire, and a few hours later you end up with the most tender, delicious chicken, ribs, pork, or beef you've ever had.
Uh-huh. And
what I've given you, I gave a sample of yesterday's entries, which you should have chicken, ribs, pork shoulder, and beef brisket. Those are the four categories you have to compete in to be eligible to be the grand champion.
Oh, you have to do all four?
You don't have to, but in order to be considered for grand champion, they add up all your points. It's a good idea to do all four.
Okay, you're listening to WNYC, AM 820 and FM 93.9. I'm Beth Ferdigan for Brian Lehrer. If you have any barbecue tips you'd like to share or preferences, please give us a call at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. I'm talking with Pitmaster Robert Richter. Robert, before I taste it, can you tell me a little bit about... I have a little piece of brisket here. How did you prepare this, and what's so special about it that made it the winning entry? What in your mind, of course?
Well, the brisket is a large piece of meat. The brisket can range anywhere from 8 to 12 to 14 pounds. And there are two types of brisket. There's two muscle groups in the brisket. There's a leaner piece, which is called the flat, and there's a fattier piece, which is called a more marbled piece, which is called the deckle.
And
obviously, fat gives flavor.
Uh-huh.
So we're big fans of the deckle.
You want the fatty meat. Okay. And as I'm tasting it, it's I definitely taste the fat, you know, that kind of consistent goodness that you taste in fatty meat, but also the tanginess of the barbecue sauce. What's in there?
Well, the brisket, we actually prepare I like to call it a beefy beef sauce.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really like to put too much sweet, too much sugar. We don't like to hide the flavor of the meat. Part of cooking successful barbecue is not overwhelming it and covering up the taste of the meat with sauce.
No tomatoes?
No tomatoes.
Okay, what's in there? What am I tasting?
You're tasting a bone marrow jus. And you're probably getting some of the rub that's been put on that.
Because it's very meaty tasting. You're absolutely right. I don't taste that tanginess that's usually so overwhelming when people do it in their backyards. You know, I taste a little bit of the tang along with the taste of the meat. All right, should we go to your next entry here? Sliced pork? What do you want to tell me about that?
That's a pork shoulder.
Okay.
And that's a piece of meat that has a lot of great marbling in it. There's a few different muscle groups inside of it. And what we do with our pork, we like to offer the judges a sampling of different textures of pork. We give them pulled pork, which is it's a product that's cooked a little longer, and we like to give them some sliced pork, which has a little more texture to it. So this way, if the judge likes a product that's a little more cooked, a little finer, they have that. And if they like something a little more al dente, they have that project.
I'm tasting a little spice in here. What is that?
The spice in the pork is a lot of things going on in there.
There is a lot. I don't want you to give away your secrets, though.
Please, I'd love to.
All right, we do have a hamburger question. Beth in Madison, New Jersey is on the air right now. What's your hamburger question for the pitmaster? Are you there, Beth? Okay, let's go to our next caller. Matt of Manhattan, are you there? We're having a... Yep, you're there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. You got a question for the pitmaster?
Well, yeah, I know that Rob cooks at a lot of competitions, and I was just wondering if there were any opportunities for people of the public to go out and maybe get a chance to sample some of his food somewhere.
Excellent question. Tell us where we can sample your food in public.
Well, this weekend we're actually holding the fourth annual BBQ NYC picnic. This is an event that I found a fellow, Travis Mills, had posted to a food bulletin board. Up until a few years ago, there were no barbecue restaurants to eat at, actually, in New York. And the few that did come out, people weren't happy with. So Travis, being from Texas, had posted, "Does anyone have a pit? Let's cook our own barbecue." So I responded immediately to him, and we organized this picnic that we open up to the public, and we've been doing it for 4 years now. And it's an excellent opportunity to taste real barbecue.
And that's on Ward's Island?
It's been in different public parks through the years. From what I understand from Travis, we still have openings left. And if anyone's interested, I understand that you guys have been kind enough to post a link to that event.
Yes, we have. It's http://bbq-nyc.com. Am I
yes.
correct? And so you could still buy tickets to go to that?
Absolutely. That'll be this Saturday. And there's also an email, bbqnyc@gmail.com.
Okay, it's on Ward's Island, so you probably will need a car or at least a bus from 3 to 7 on Saturday. We have another call, Jeremiah on Staten Island.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What would you like to ask?
I'm new to the barbecuing thing. I kind of got the barbecue bug. I got my Weber kettle. Last weekend, I did a brisket. This past weekend, I did spare ribs. And I kind of modified the grill a little bit with a aluminum foil wall and a water pan to get that low temperature. And I did the spare ribs, put a rub on them, did them for about 6 hours at about 220 degrees, I'd say. And to be quite honest, they weren't as tender as I was expecting them to be. And I'd just like to see if there are any type of tips or comments I can get as to what I might have done wrong, possibly.
Okay. Are you able to share the secret?
Sure. Well, okay. One of the things, if you want to cut down on the time of cooking ribs, let's say spare ribs, you can use baby back ribs. They have a little less meat on them, but they're a little more tender, a little more expensive. And I think you'll, with that same time period, if not a little less, you'll probably get a tender product. And another thing is you might want to, you mentioned putting a water pan. And I would also occasionally, perhaps every hour and a half, spray the ribs with apple juice, beer, anything that tastes good to you, just to keep the meat moist because it helps in the cooking process.
All right. Well, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Since you have been in numerous competitions, Robert, I got to ask you, is there the equivalent of cheating in a competition like this? What can you spray and what can you not spray on the meat, for example?
Well, the rules of the competition require that you show up with unmarinated, untreated meat. You can't have injected anything into it, marinated anything, and they have a meat inspector that comes around at the beginning of the contest to make sure that no one's got a head start.
And what happens?
Well, I've
you
never,
get kicked out.
The barbecue community is a very honest, friendly, great. There's a lot of camaraderie. It's a great community. I don't think any of that goes on.
Okay. You sound like a real New Yorker, are you?
Absolutely.
All right. So,
born
you were
raised in Rego Park, Queens.
All right. Barbecue originated where? Texas?
There are a few regions of the country that barbecue has originated. You have the South, you have the Midwest, Kansas City, and you have Texas. I actually was fortunate enough to go to Texas recently, and I was just blown away by the rich history and honesty and integrity of the way they're doing barbecue in Texas.
Is it easy to pick up and to join in these competitions? I mean, or is it a very competitive, closely kept secret, or any animosity between different teams of people over these recipes?
A little bit. People, especially some of the top teams, it's kind of hard to taste their food. They don't really sample with other competitors. I mean, I've known teams for 5 or 6 years that I've been neighbors next to at contests, and I've never even tasted their food. They'd sooner give it to a complete stranger than another competitor.
Oh, that's so funny. That makes sense. And what about just, you know, I was asking you as a New Yorker, it seems like this has not really been on a landmark spot for barbecue, but lately you see a lot of restaurants popping up like Rub, Dinosaur Barbecue up in Harlem. Is New York becoming more of a destination for, you know, connoisseur-type barbecue places?
Absolutely. And I think because there is no New York barbecue tradition and people are free to experiment and do whatever they want. There's no expectations, except, of course, for the expats from, let's say, Texas or Kansas City. I think New York barbecue is going to actually be defined as one of the regions of barbecue. I mean, we live in such a multicultural, international community where you can draw upon ingredients from all sorts of cultures to incorporate into barbecue, and that's actually what we do.
Right. You must get Cuban, Vietnamese, Polish, all kinds of ethnicities in the barbecue here, right?
Yes.
Michael, you're calling us from Harlem, and there's obviously been a great link to Southern foods in Harlem, and barbecue is popular in that neighborhood. Give us your perspective.
Well, absolutely. Historically, in Harlem, there were incredible places like Fat Man's Barbecue and Singleton's Barbecue. From the 1920s onward, and it's only in the 70s, really, that these places wane. But now we've got Rack and Soul at 109 and Broadway, and we have Spoon Bread and at 110 and Columbus, and also at 137 and Lenox, and as you mentioned, Dinosaur Barbecue. So we've got several barbecue venues here, which have barbecue as good as any that you can get in the city, I think.
Do you taste regional differences among them, or do they taste like they're coming from the same type of place?
No, they're all of them very, very different.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, some of them are...
Are they Southern? Are they
They're
Western?
All of them derived from the South, but
right.
Of course, if you get barbecue in the Carolinas versus barbecue in Mississippi or barbecue in Texas, you're getting something
right.
Very, very different.
What are the differences, Robert? Can you talk a little bit about Rub versus dry versus, you know, the sauces? Some people really like the saucy barbecue.
Sure. Regionally, Kansas City is known for a sweet and sticky type of sauce. Memphis is more of a dry rub. The Carolinas are more pork with vinegar sauces and tomato-based sauces. And Texas, the barbecue that I've come to embrace, is more about allowing the smoke, the meat, salt and pepper, and the talent of the pitmaster to really shine through. So you really have a plethora of styles.
Okay, we have one more sample from yours here. The chicken, you want to just tell us very quickly, because members of the listening public out there, you can buy tickets. They have to be bought in advance if you want to go to the New York City Barbecue Festival this weekend on Ward's Island. You can go to the website at http://bbq-nyc.com. Just a quick word, Robert Richter, the pitmaster. What would they taste in your chicken this weekend?
Well, this chicken is the same recipe that won our team first place chicken at the Kansas City Royal Open Barbecue Championship last year, 2005.
Okay.
This was over 474 teams.
Well, thank you so much for participating. I'm Beth Fertig and for Brian Lehrer.
Thanks for listening to The Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.